Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Caroline Fenton is here. We are live from the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation. Again, that'll be going on, I believe, all weekend. The Grove in Arrington, which is where we are. Ian's back in our wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It's I hate when I get dragged into doing something that I get on other people for doing. So the draft happens. And then, you know, look, there were a lot of people. We talked on Tuesday of last week, and we kicked it around. The three of us, Ian, Caroline, myself, and we said, okay, we have this information on Caleb Farley. And after what Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, what those guys reported, are we in or are we out on Farley? And we all voted no on Caleb Farley. We got scared by S1 vertebrae and L5 disc and we all of it. And we're like, no, out, see ya. Chris Sanders came on Wednesday and said, I had the same injury. No, and I was out. Then they pick him, and I was against it. And by the way, for the record, I'm still against it. But I was against it. And then all of a sudden, the same Titan fans that texted the show and were against it and called the show on Friday, they were texting the show saying we were haters, saying, like, how can we do this? We should be, you know, yes, Caleb Farley, way to go, and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't know, you know, I still don't. Then Ian sent me Caleb Farley a month ago on the Chris Collinsworth podcast, and I was listening to him talk about, you know, his motivation and his energy and everything else, and he was all fired up, and I was just like, yeah, you know, maybe I'm buying this a little bit. Or on Saturday, I love the Dez Fitzpatrick pick. A buddy of mine on the radio in Louisville told me he'd be a great slot receiver. And then Trevor Maddich comes on, says he's not going to be a great slot receiver. TD comes on and says doesn't see him as a slot guy. Chris Sanders doesn't see him as a slot guy. And I'm starting to look at myself and I'm thinking, oh, no, do I hate the Dez Fitzpatrick pick now? Like, and I'm like, Jared, you get mad at other people when a pick is made and they don't like the pick. And then 3 days later, they're like, I love the pick. You can't change. So I guess I'm, you know, kind of staying straight, though.
Did you get fooled by that Caleb Farley, Chris Collinsworth interview?
You know, no. But I heard it and I listened to him talk and I was like, okay, you know, hey, I hear Caleb Farley talking on this interview and I'm like, you know, he seems all fired up. But again, everybody has a good interview, you know, like, and everybody interviews,
and I don't think
well,
anyone,
or else he wouldn't interview you.
And nobody ever questioned his motivation or his drive. Like, that sure. Very much so came through in the interview. He was like, I'm a perfectionist. I will do whatever it takes. I'm going to be in the weight room. I'm going to be studying film. Like, I, you know, very much so I believe him. But when it came to Chris Collinsworth asking him about, can you run? Can you play? He was like, oh, yeah, I would run, but I can't.
So I have taken the best questions, in my opinion, the most important aspects of the Titans after the draft, the questions. And we're going to play a little buy or sell. Caroline, Ian, we're all going to get a vote here to buy or to sell. And again, I think these are the most important questions surrounding the team. So we start with the number one question that I have now, right now. And we will buy or we will sell. We ready?
Ready.
Okay. The Titans are set in the secondary with Caleb Farley, Janoris Jenkins, Christian Fulton, and Elijah Molden. They are done. They will have a good secondary. No need to add. No need to trade. No need to pick up a release guy. They're good. Finito. Done. Buy or sell.
Sell. Sell, sell, sell. Absolutely not.
Why?
Caleb Farley, we don't even know if he can run. We don't know if he can play. We don't know how healthy he is. Elijah Molden was very much so a bargain pickup for the Titans. You know, people enjoyed that pick. I don't not trust him. Christian Fulton, we haven't seen much from him. And Janoris Jenkins, he has never played a snap with the Titans. So no, I am not completely sold on this secondary. I think there's just too many question marks. And there's not one guy in that list that you're like, oh yeah, we're happy to have that veteran back on the Titans. No.
Oh, I so disagree. I feel like Janoris Jenkins is, sign him. He's going to go man with somebody. He'll be fine. You know, yeah, he'll get burned, you know, occasionally during the season. He'll make some great plays during the season. Every corner does.
He's never played a game with the Titans.
So? He's got like a 15. He's played in the NFL for 10 years.
I know. I just, but if you're going to say, oh, we don't need anyone else, I mean, that's just a whole lot of question marks right there. I mean, yeah, Janoris Jenkins is a league veteran. He's a proven cornerback.
He's a really good. I mean, he's got a great career.
He is. He played on my team. I know how great he is.
So why would you be worried about that?
I mean, if you just have Janoris Jenkins, like, yes, he's a proven NFL veteran corner, but he's not a proven NFL veteran Titan.
Okay, then by that, I mean, I guess by that, then you could look at anybody that signs with any team and say, you know, that guy's not proven. That guy's not proven on that team. So Tom Brady last year, not a proven Buccaneer. Now he's a proven Buccaneer. Come on.
But I'm not going to say that I'm buying that just because Janoris Jenkins, when there's a cornerback in there that may or may not be broken. There is a third-round cornerback in there, and then Christian Fulton, who played, what, 3 games last year with the Titans?
Handful of games.
Yeah.
Ian, you buying or selling it?
Well, I think if the Farley injury turns out to be okay, I'm a soft buy.
That's fair.
If he can, kind of recover and get out there for training camp, I think they have some talent, and I think they have some young talent that can continue to get better. One thing I do worry about is that we heard a lot about last year, and I think somebody brought this up to Vrabel or J-Rob during one of these press conferences, is the chemistry and the communication with a whole new secondary,
sure,
pretty much, with other than Byard and Amani Hooker. You know, you got all new, virtually all new starting corners, and secondary and communication was already an issue last year. I think that's something they're really going to have to work on.
So I think their plan is to play man coverage on every snap, and then that way it's just, you got Johnny, you got Steve, you got, but I hear you. I'm buying it. Here's why I'm buying it. My expectations have been lowered because I've seen Tremaine Brock Sr. line up at corner in the AFC Championship game for the Titans. So I know how bad it can get. Last year, the first game of the year, they had Malcolm Butler and Chris Jackson. And I would not forget, by the way, about Chris Jackson. I feel comfortable that Janoris Jenkins will be on one outside spot. And then I feel comfortable that either Farley or Fulton will be at the other outside spot. And if Farley's hurt, then Elijah Molden plays the nickel. If not, then Fulton goes to nickel, Farley's outside, Jenkins, you got Molden when you go dime, plus Kevin Johnson, who they signed as a free agent, though I think he sucks because he's a Vrabel guy, and you know how I feel about Vrabel guys. And then they've got Chris Jackson that they can put in there. They still have Amani Hooker out there at safety, Kevin Byard, Dane Cruikshank returns from injury. I think of all the things, there are a lot of things I don't like about the Titans. They don't have a tight end. Slot receiver, I don't know. Secondary is done. They've got enough there. Done. So I'm the only one who gets them. I'm buying that one. Second one. Dez Fitzpatrick will be the starting slot wide receiver for the Titans week one. Buy or sell? Ian.
I'm going to go sell. I know you have heard that he is a good slot receiver, and he very well could be a good slot receiver. But as a rookie coming in, I don't think you can trust him to be a starter at the slot position, to have to know all that goes into that position as a rookie. So I'm going to sell.
Caroline?
I'm going to buy it only because who else do the Titans have to play in that slot position? I agree with you, Ian, that if the Titans had another guy on the roster that who has already played and gets this offensive scheme, that no, he would probably sit on the bench. But the Titans just don't have any bodies in the slot position, so I'm going to sell that. Or I'm going to buy that, I'm sorry.
So I want to buy it, and I do think he should be the starting slot receiver for the Titans. I'm going to sell it, and here's why I'm going to sell it. Because Mike Vrabel, when he falls in love with a player, John Robinson has to take that player off the team, or else he's going to do something stupid like give the ball to David Flewellen over Derrick Henry. And I think Mike Vrabel loves Cameron Batson. I think he loves Cam Batson. And I think wide receiver is a hard position to learn right away in the NFL. Dez Fitzpatrick played for two offensive coaches and Bobby Petrino and Scott Satterfield. And so maybe that will ease kind of the learning process. But I think the first chance Vrabel gets to go put Batson in the slot, he's going to do it. He loves Cam Batson. And as I said, if Vrabel loves a guy, that guy will find his way onto the football field. Sometimes it works. Jayon Brown, Amani Hooker, Vrabel loved those guys. Sometimes it doesn't, and I think Vrabel loves Cam Batson. I do, and I because of that, and I hate it because I don't think Cam Batson's that good, but I think Cam Batson's going to start at slot for the Titans, even though I'm not sure he really should. So as much as I'd like to say bye, I'm going to sell. The Titans will trade for a tight end, or they will pick one up in free agency, buy or sell.
I'm buying that. You're going to have just Anthony Firkser out there. I think that they intentionally, or maybe it was intentional or not, just how the board fell, but they didn't pick up a tight end in the draft, and I felt like they needed to.
Sure.
So, yes, I am buying that they are either going to trade. I feel better about picking up a tight end in free agency just because I don't know how much the Titans really have to trade, but I am buying that they will either trade or pick up a tight end.
Ian?
I'm also buying. They do need some more numbers, although I do think they really like Jeff Swaim, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's more involved than we anticipate. I'm kind of surprised they haven't brought back Mykole Pruitt, but, you know, as TD mentioned, there could be some some options here during these veteran cuts.
So I'm going to buy this as well, and I do want to qualify this by when I say they're going to get a tight end, I'm talking about a starting tight end. You know, bringing in Mykole Pruitt back and then having Firkser be the guy, that certainly could be a position they go. I'm not sure it is. I think they're waiting. I think tight end is the one position where I feel like they are waiting for June 1st. And they have a feeling that three or four guys are going to get canned and one guy is going to be out there for them to sign, and that's what they're going to do. TD, Zach Ertz earlier today, I buy the idea. They're getting a tight end. I mean, they are not done at tight end. I think they wanted Hunter Long. I think they wanted Tommy Tremble. They both fell off the board before the Titans picked at 85. The Titans quickly got out of the pick and gave it to Green Bay. And I would love to know the timeline on when they gave it to Green Bay, because I remember looking up the pick before the Titans picked at 85. That pick was still on the clock, and we saw Green Bay at 85 next to whoever was picking. I think it was Dallas was picking, and we saw, you know, Green Bay up next. So we knew the Titans traded it before 84. And I wonder if it was because Trimble fell off the board. But, yes, I think they will get a tight end. Last one, buy or sell. Bud Dupree and Harold Landry and maybe Rashad Weaver, who knows, are enough for the Titans this season at outside linebacker. And yeah, they'll have all the other guys, the Derek Robersons and the Tazar Skippers and the, you know, the practice squad level guys, but that Landry, Dupree, and Weaver are enough.
So just with all the question marks surrounding Rashad Weaver, I still don't think that's enough. I mean, I was really big on the Titans taking a pass rusher in the first round, then at least in the second or third round, just picking up a pass rusher, because I did not think that Bud Dupree and Harold Landry were enough, especially because of Bud Dupree's injury. So I am selling that Bud Dupree and Harold Landry are enough for the Titans at outside linebacker.
Ian?
Selling as well. They've been using Landry, and their rotation is just so light as it was last year. This Weaver situation is obviously less than ideal, and I think Autry will help, but he's not really necessarily an outside backer,
sure.
So I'm going to sell as well.
You know what really bothers me is I feel like we think it's a bigger deal than they think it is. Like we
Rashad
think
Weaver?
No, the outside linebacker position.
Okay.
Like, I don't think Harold Landry can play every snap. I think they think he can.
They brought that up, and they still continued to do it.
Oh, they said last year, oh, yeah, we got to take back Harold's snap count because we want Harold to go get the quarterback. Harold Landry, 73 possible defensive snaps. Harold Landry played 72. I mean, it's like, guys. So it's like, I don't even think they think it's an issue. So I'm going to say sell. It's not enough. It's not enough. What they have right now, Bud Dupree coming off of an injury, it's not enough. But knowing that the three of us think this, and I don't feel like they think it. I think they look at it, and they think, like they say to themselves, oh, yeah, no, we're good. Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, you know, Weaver, if that gets worked out okay, you know, like that's how I think they feel on it. But it gets me worked up thinking about it. That's buy or sell. I like that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts on the Titans in the draft. And plus, why John Robinson hasn't played a card yet that he definitely can play. And I think he told us he's going to play it. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company, we're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com at the Simmons Bank Open, which benefits the Snedeker Foundation, right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there that this Friday, May 7th, tomorrow, has been declared National Predators Pride Day throughout Tennessee. We invite you to cheer on the Predators by wearing gold and throughout the day. The Preds will highlight their amazing fans supporting their favorite Preds gear. Take a pic, post it on your social media page, and be sure to tag Preds NHL to show your support for the Preds and wear gold this Friday. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman and Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. We're live at the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation. Let me tell the fine folks, Nashville Sounds Baseball. Listen, ESPN 94.9 for Nashville Sounds Baseball, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. The Sounds take on the Mud Hens, 5:35. So I asked John Robinson a question on Saturday. And it'd be nice if we had it, but we don't. But I asked John Robinson a question on Saturday about restructuring contracts, because they have not restructured Ryan Tannehill's contract. And everyone kept wondering in free agency if they were going to reconstruct, or, you know, if they were going to kind of restructure his deal and free up cap space. And Robinson, in a long-winded explanation, I feel like basically said yes. So we're talking about all the needs of the team. June 1st is coming up where teams can cut a guy and take half the cap hit this year, half the cap hit next year. Do you think Robinson, and I think Robinson, is holding back? I think he's holding back on a Tannehill restructure for that. And I think it's to the point where he doesn't want to commit any more money than he has to commit as far as Tannehill's concerned. And for Tannehill, it's just kind of more of a restructure. LeJuan, it's legitimately guaranteeing next season. And I don't think he wants to do that. So I think he's waiting to see, okay, is somebody going to get released that I want to go pick up? And if they get released for him to go pick that person up, then I think that that's what he's going to want to do. So I still think he's holding back. I think there is one card to play. And we kind of touched on this with TD, and we kind of talked about it. And I want to be down on the Titans too. I mean, I want to look at this draft and I want to see no tight end and say, how can you play without a tight end? And I want to bang on the table every day and say, how can you not have a starting tight end? Because they don't have a starting tight end right now.
Yet.
And I want to do that, but I think he's holding back. I think that's a card that he wants to play, or I don't think he wants to play. I think it's a card he's going to play. I think he's just waiting to see who ends up out there after June 1st. Before they make the move, because everybody's telling me Des Fitzpatrick can't play the slot. Everybody's, you know, I know Anthony Firkser is not a starting tight end in the NFL. I think he's waiting on that. Now, maybe the Weaver news complicates this, because maybe they thought that was the depth guy that could play outside backer to go with Landry and Dupree. And now maybe they have to go look for one of those two. And maybe they can't create enough money doing it. But I would say, I think Robinson is holding back. I think he is holding back right now on wanting to restructure those deals, knowing that they can possibly come down the road. What's in the text line? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. The phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Ryan said, I would love to see the Titans sign Justin Houston as part of as a post June 1st signing. What are your thoughts on that defensive end?
So I think Justin Houston is a free agent right now. So he doesn't necessarily matter in terms of the post June 1st. When they talk about cutting a guy and half of the money being this year, half of the money being next year, that's because when you cut a guy with salary cap, with signing bonus, it accelerates into the year that's upcoming. So for example, if the Titans, I think they gave Tannehill a $20 million signing bonus. So it was over 4 years. So that's $5 million each year. If they were to cut Tannehill today, then all that money for next year and the year after, that $10 million, with the $5 million they already owe this year comes into this year, and now they owe $15 million against the cap, plus whatever was guaranteed to have been paid out. So if you do it, then you can split that money in half if you wait till June 1st, and again, using Tannehill and that $15 million. So $7.5 million would be this year, and $7.5 million would be next year, and then they could, you know, save a little bit of money. But signing a guy like Justin Houston, that's not a June 1st move. He's already a free agent. He's already out there. So it's guys like TD brought Zach Ertz. It's guys like that that I think will be out there that teams will take the hit this year and next year on, and then the Titans can go out and sign those guys. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. AJ is up next here on Stillman & Company. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, AJ.
What's going on? How y'all doing?
Good.
First of all, with the Titans, with the draft, I mean, I'm kind of like some folks. I was kind of iffy. Who knows how some of the people may turn out. But far more when it came like to free agents and stuff and keeping some of their own players, I think the Titans lost a lot of depth. And I just want to see what they'll do to regain that depth. You know, not only on defense, but just like the little depth they had on offense to back each other up. And I just want to sit back and listen to what y'all say.
Thank you, AJ. I think this is one of those things where the Titans are in a tough spot. Like a lot of teams in the league, the cap money that they were expecting to have, they simply don't have. And that's where that depth, I look at the depth on defense more than I do anything else. I mean, they have depth at tackle right now. They have depth at running back. They have depth guys at wide receiver. Tight end. They just don't have starter at tight end. I'm not sure depth. I mean, I think it's something that the entire league is probably going through this year. Crispy is going to join us next. A tough one for the Predators. Win against a bad Columbus team, and they were in, and they couldn't do it. What did Crispy think about that? Terry Crisp will join us next. Stillman & Company. We're live from the Simmons Bank Open to benefit the Snedeker Foundation, presented by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Win, and you were in last night against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Preds had a 1-0 lead. They had a 2-1 lead. They lost 4-2. Although, in all seriousness, it was really a one-goal game. And the Predators brought the fire and the energy at the end of the game. How much do they bring it for the whole game? That's a debatable question, given the stakes. Terry Crisp joins us now in the program, though. Crispy, I want you to put me in your coach's shoes right now. You watched that effort last night. With the stakes being what they were, how did you feel? I know they brought it at the end of the game last night, couldn't get the goal to fall. But how did you feel about the effort level, given the stakes last night?
You know what, Stiller? I was sitting talking with Hal Gill. After the game, he and I and Mace were sitting talking about it, and we were sort of comparing notes as to what we saw and liked and didn't like, et cetera. And to a man, we all agreed that three of us were disappointed in the emotion, the energy, the sense of urgency that wasn't displayed for the full 60 minutes by our hockey club. We had the one unit out there, the herd, Jeannot and Sissons and Trennan, that every time on the ice, they were just flying. They were pushing, burying, going in. And after that, there was a drop-off. And we couldn't figure out why, because the guys had all been fighting so far to get here and digging in to get here for that game and to make it all happen. And in the second period, we had I don't know how many breakaways, point-blank scoring chances that we didn't get. So that's always my one bugbear is we didn't finish. We had chances. Did not finish them for whatever reason. Now, I know they don't mean not to score, but when the stakes are this high, you got to find a way to put that puck in the net. You got to find a way that when you get there and you're open, I'm putting it in the net, not around it, not over it, not into the goalie's guts. And I give Merzlikins credit. He played well. But again, I don't know. I guess I'll be like Coach Hines and him. Hey, we're still in the hunt. We still got to win. We still got to get into the playoffs. So, let's learn from that game.
Crispy, how much do you worry about this team last night? You know, they can't get it done. Dallas loses. They would have won and they clinch. And now you get Carolina. And I, you know, all due respect to Tampa Bay, defending cup champions, and they're going to get a lot of firepower back for the playoffs. I don't know if anybody's playing better in the sport right now than Carolina. I'll say this. If Tampa Bay doesn't take care of Dallas tomorrow night, I'm worried. Should we be worried?
Yeah, we should be if you're common sense. The only reason we should worry is if we don't give our best. Now, if we come out, and even our best is going to be after our top best, because we've seen what Carolina can do. We've played them, we took them to the edge a couple times. I still consider them one of the top teams in NHL, top two or three. In our division, they're the best, in my mind. Right from top to bottom, goaltending, defense, forwards, right on out. And their coach, Rod Brindamere, he has them flying out there. So, yeah, they are. So we know full well that if we're going to take a game from these guys or two or whatever points we want to sneak out of them or take away from them, we've got to have an effort. And then that can't just be a one-line effort or a one-and-a-half-line effort and a couple defensemen and our goaltender playing out of the skull for us. I don't care if you get 27 minutes in the game, if you get 19 minutes in the game, or if you get 8 minutes in the game. I want a full 27, I want a full 19, and I want a full 8. From November going over those boards. And let it be, then the results will be what they will be. But if we give that, then that's as good as we can be.
Terry Crisp is our guest here on the program. What did you think of Hines benching Matt Duchene last night? He was asked about it after the game, said he just wanted to play Philip Forsberg a little bit more. There are a lot of people that looked at the second goal and feel like Duchene's effort at blocking that shot wasn't good enough, and that's what got him sat down on the bench. I worry, Crispy. I mean, I think Matt Duchene's been playing some of his best hockey with the Predators. What did you make of that situation last night?
You know what? I don't think it gets that one incident. The coach Hines is smarter than that, and he's better than that. I know him. And he probably seen other things that he wanted to change, he didn't like. And as a coach, I applaud double-shifting Forsberg. He's our one to go to. If Forsberg's your double-shift the herd if you have to in that stretch. Sit other guys out, whatever you want to call it, and sit them. And the guys know. And the guys, when I played, your job when you're sitting there is to cheer. You cheer loud for the guys and to pep them up and keep them going. That's what the rest of your job is that given night. And again, having been a coach, you make decisions and you live with them and you go with them. And when he started double shifting Forsberg, I was happy. I said, good, smart move. That was it. You get one of our best players out there. He's fresh. Got new legs, let them go.
Crispy, the thing that bothers me about that, though, is that I do feel like, and I'm not saying that Matt Duchene was playing well last night. He has played well up until last night. But what bothers me is that I don't think you can beat Carolina in the playoffs or Tampa Bay in the playoffs if you don't have Matt Duchene playing well. And maybe, hey, this is the jolt that Matt Duchene needs. I don't know. I don't think you can bench the same guy over and over again. And we know Hines benched him last year. But I think they have to have him. I think this is one of those things that, hey, if Duchene doesn't play well, you lose. So you better
Stiller. Stiller, that's a dumb statement to make. Because if Duchene doesn't play, doesn't mean we lose. We won without him. When he was injured, our team was flying. When he was injured, we were winning. Now you're going to say, well, this team is different. We're against Carolina now. You're not against us. You'd be right in that vein, except that we got our best effort from the guys that were playing back then, and we were winning and knocking teams and going tough and hard. So I don't see any change in that. If Duchene's in the lineup, yeah, if he's playing his game as good as his skill level is, and if he's scoring goals, he's here to score goals. That's his job. And that's why he was brought in here, was to be a goal scorer, same with a couple other guys and whatnot. So playing hard or playing whatever isn't as good enough anymore for the guys. Like the herd, they do their job night in, night out, and now they're scoring goals. So I'm giving nobody a pass on that, nobody on a pass of not giving the energy and what you brought here for to do.
Crispy, how much, and I think we're all going to be watching tomorrow night to see Dallas and see what happens with that. Let's say Dallas wins tomorrow night and Saturday and Monday become big. How much will you judge this team off of the effort level? Not necessarily the result, because as we said, Carolina's pretty good. How much will you judge this team on the effort level they give Saturday and Monday?
Full-hearted. If I leave the rink and I leave my booth or whatever, and if I, in my heart, as an old player and an old coach, I say, you know what? those guys guts it out. They give every last ounce they have. And I mean, the guys, the 9-minute guys, the 4-minute guys, the power play, the penalty kill, I can live with it. Now, we're going to reevaluate this team no matter what, whether we make the playoffs or we don't. And we should make the playoffs. These guys, they've come this far. But if we don't, it happens, you touch wood, that it's not going to be just evaluated on that. It's going to be evaluated on what's happened throughout the season, with injuries coming in, with the young kids that have suddenly jumped up. It's going to mean a lot of reevaluation as to who stays and who doesn't. Yeah, they will, but it'll be on the year, not these two games.
Crispy, I was watching TV this morning. I watch ESPN every morning, probably like a lot of people. And the number one thing they led off with was the fight in New York or Washington or wherever it was, the Capitals-Rangers fight at Madison Square Garden last night. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, that's the old school hockey. I'm going to say this. I think that's bad for the game. I mean, not to say like that fighting's bad for the game or anything like that. I think it's bad for the game to have the theme of an entire game. ESPN morning show, number one topic was that game, and they didn't even mention TJ Oshie's hat trick after his dad had passed away because they were so hell-bent on the fighting and the drama and the statement that the Rangers put out. And I think it's bad for the game. What did you think of all of that?
I think you're right there in the pot stirring it. I think you're as good as any of the guys in TSN, ESPN, OSPN, or whatever. PN. Stiller, did you ever listen to yourself? We listen to you sometimes just to see who you're going to tear apart. Who are you going to give it to? Who are you going to ream on this time along or whatever? So you can't tell me that the physicality in any sport, football, some guys knocking guys around, or hot. Sure. And you know what? We've got a funny sense of humor in our society today. But what draws the biggest crowds now that sells out every arena across the country, North America? When two men win that cage, what's it called?
Oh, the UCA, the UFC?
Yeah, what is that? Yeah,
the Octagon?
That they sell every their TV ratings are unbeatable, the money. That. Why do people look at it? Why? Same thing in
sports. I
think
they want to see like a shin bone come out of somebody's, you know, lower leg.
Stiller, I love you, guy, but you are still one of the guys that stirs the pot.
Well, but I said this earlier today. If you're watching
football,
why
do you do it? Why do you do it?
Why do I tell it like it? Because somebody's got to tell it. No, somebody's got to tell it like it is, Crispy.
That's what I'm saying. You want people to listen to you, and you tell it like it is. So if they like you or don't like you, that's not your problem. You're telling how you feel, what's going, what's happening, what's going down. And that's why a lot of people listen to you.
Well, I'm not saying...
Pro or con. You remember Don Cherry?
Oh, I remember Don Cherry.
Well, and in Canada, he is an icon forever and a day. And 50% loved him and 50% disliked him. But they listened to him. All 100% listened to him.
I think Don Cherry got canceled. I could be wrong.
He did.
I could.
But
okay, so I don't want that.
He did, by the way. But that didn't diminish what he is up there.
Terry Crisp, as always. I would just say this, Crispy. If we're watching a baseball game, this is a baseball. First pitch of the game, we got the first baseman, you know, running after the first base coach trying to punch each other. And then you got, like you know, baseball would suspend both coaches and they would say, this cannot happen in baseball. All the Rangers want is for Tom Wilson, who is about a 5,000-time offender. They just want him to be punished. And I get it. I understand where the Rangers are coming from and their whole, hey, we're going to take it into our own hands. I just think it's bad for the game to have just people fighting off the jump because the league didn't do what they were supposed to do in suspending him. That's all I'm saying.
And you know what? The one thing you do learn from all this, Taylor, is that make sure you keep your yap shut and don't say the wrong thing at the wrong time, because it could cost you $250,000.
Yeah, that is true. Don't be calling people out, which, again, that's another problem that apparently I have. Terry Crisp, as always. Crispy, we appreciate you. We'll talk to you soon.
Stay with us, Stiller. Two games, we're going to make it, buddy.
Oh, I actually agree. I think the Predators will make the playoffs. Terry Crisp, as always, Bally Sports. He will be on Saturday and Monday. And then, of course, when the playoffs get started, we'll have Crispy on all of that, too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I think a lot of people are going to want to react to what Crispy just had to say. We're going to react. You know, Crispy was a little feisty there, Ian. I was, you know.
Yes, he was.
We've had Crispy on the show now every Thursday during the hockey season for 5 years. You know, what is it, 2016, 17, 18, 19, 20, 6 years that we've had Crispy on the show. And that may be the most fired up Crispy has been. So we'll touch on that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Their logo is right there on the ice. That's right. It is fantastic how you could just see that Hiller logo for the home games. And on the road games, you can see it on the glass superimposed, because that's how big of a proud sponsor Hiller is of the Nashville Predators. They're also a humongous sponsor of the Tennessee Volunteers. And they are a huge supporter for tax credits. That's right. Tax credits for energy efficient home systems are back this year. When you put Energy Star certified equipment in your home, you'll earn a tax credit with the IRS. This month, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical is helping you keep more money in your pocket and doubling your tax credit when you purchase select new HVAC systems or tankless water heaters. And they're offering special financing so you make no payments until next year. Visit happyhiller.com for all of the details. As always, happy you will be, or the service is free. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. My guys, call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hi, John. Matt Duchene had some pretty limited minutes tonight, it seemed. Was there a thing with matchups with him, or something more you want to see out of his game? Because it's just pretty limited for him compared to probably what we typically see.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I thought Forsberg was playing really well. And I think tonight that was just really how the game went.
That was John Hines last night on Benching Matt Duchene. Terry Crisp was just on our show. And my, oh my, I mean, Crispy. When I say, look, I think you're going to need Matt Duchene to beat Carolina. Sorry. Crispy said that was an idiotic statement.
Whoa.
Was what Terry Crisp said. He backs John Hines. He backs John Hines' decision to bench Matt Duchene. Again, Duchene played last night. 11 minutes of ice time. Meanwhile, Eric Halla and Cali Yarncroke played 17. He was on the ice. My goodness. He was on the ice literally as much as Brad Richardson. 13 shifts last night for Matt Duchene. That a team low. So clearly he got benched. Crispy stands with Hines. John Hines was on with Robbie and Rexrode this morning and kind of went further into that decision. Here's what he said.
You know, with Matt, no, it was just, you know, kind of the way the game went in the third period. It just changed a couple lines, got a couple guys different shifts, and that's how it went last night.
Okay, so the exact same thing that he said last night in reference to this. Are you with Crispy? That was the right thing to do? Or do you think that if this team's going to win, they need Matt Duchene, and Matt Duchene needs to be out there on the ice, and they're going to have to play through. If they think it's an effort issue, they're going to have to play through it. Because I don't know if people know this, but when you sign a guy to an $8 million contract and you can't get rid of him, as Adam Vingan has said, he doesn't see an answer for how they get out of the Matt Duchene issue. What are you going to do?
I'm kind of with Crispy on this one. This team was able to win without Matt Duchene, and they can continue to win without Matt Duchene. Are you going to play him just because he's making $8 million? Just because you're paying him a lot of money? Like, I'm with you that I think this team is in a better position when Matt Duchene is healthy and can play. I think that Matt Duchene has played some really good hockey over the past couple of weeks. But if he wasn't doing what John Hines wanted him to do last night, then you're going to sit on the bench. And this team can win games without him. They didn't last night.
Oh, I think that is so short-sighted.
Why?
Oh, my God. Because you have to think big picture with this guy. You can't. You're not going to be able to trade him, right?
Right.
Okay. Seattle's not taking him.
Correct.
And you can't buy him out.
Correct.
So he's on your team, right?
Yeah, he's on
so
your
he
team.
So he has more job security on your team than John Hines does as the coach. Fair?
Essentially.
I mean, again, coaches get fired before players get fired. So he's on the team. Remember Kyle Turris, everybody? Remember how, I mean, I'm not going to say Kyle Turris tanked the locker room, but there is a sentiment that I have gotten that the Laviolette-Turris riff that there was that riff was much deeper than just, well, it made Kyle Turris not play better. And Kyle Turris, they bought out this past year. Kyle Turris played a lot better when John Hines became the coach. And I think everybody pretty much knows he and Laviolette really didn't get along. Well, this is bigger than Kyle Turris. This is Matt Duchene, who has a bigger contract, a more immovable contract, if that was even a thing. The truth of the matter with the Predators is this, and this is where I disagree with Crispy, and I disagree with you. And that is, we can look at this and say, hey, they're better off without Matt Duchene. That's fine. But you're not going to get rid of Matt Duchene. So Matt Duchene's going to be here. This is a not just this year, but next year. If you're going to win, when he signs on the dotted line for 7 years and $56 million, when he signs on that dotted line, you are committed. And the idea that you can bench him and you can throw him under the bus, and I do think Hines did a good job of not throwing him under the bus last night, because that could have made things a lot worse. But, I mean, I would just say that if Matt Duchene starts becoming, you know, if there's some resentment there after how he feels he's been treated, whether or not it's fair, if there's some resentment, you don't have an option, and it might tank your locker room. And I'm worried about that because, again, Matt Duchene is not a three-game discussion. It's not a three-game issue. It's not a, well, he wasn't playing well today, let's take him out kind of thing. It's like benching Ryan Tannehill. You can't do it. You can't. It's Tannehill has a bad game.
You cannot compare Duchene and Ryan Tannehill.
You're right.
Different roles.
Ryan Tannehill is more movable than Matt Duchene. I can get rid of Ryan Tannehill after next year. I can't get rid of Matt Duchene. He's on my team.
Well, you said that, you know, that Crispy and I thought that the Predators are better off without Matt Duchene. That's not what I said. I said this team very much so is better when Matt Duchene is healthy. This team very much so is better when Matt Duchene can play. But saying that you should play Matt Duchene because he has a big contract, because you're not getting rid of him, that doesn't really make any sense. Just because the guy is here to stay doesn't mean that he has to play every single second.
No, it doesn't mean he has to play every single second. It means you can't just bench him every time you get mad at him. You can't do it. You can't do it. And I will say this for Hines. I think it was very smart of John Hines not to say that he benched him yesterday and not to make it more than what it may just be, because you can't afford a rift with him. You cannot afford a rift with him. And if you don't like it, don't sign him to the contract that you shouldn't have signed him to. But that ship has sailed. And it's not Hines' fault. But when Hines took the job, the premise was get the guys who weren't playing well, the high-paid guys, to start playing well. That's what David Poile said. And when he's talking about the high-paid guys who aren't playing well, he's talking about Johansson and Duchene. And so maybe those guys are lost causes. I don't know. But I would just say this, man, I'd be very careful. I'd be very careful with those guys, because especially Duchene, you cannot afford a locker room issue. You cannot. And I've just, you know, I've seen it enough. I mean, Carson Wentz, let's use him as an example. Carson Wentz literally just burned down the entire franchise in Philadelphia. The players didn't like him, pouted his way out, got the coach fired, then demanded he's got to go too. And now Philadelphia is out there with no cap space and Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And, like, that's you can't put yourself in that position. And Matt Duchene, as far as the contract and the lack of mobility with that contract, your hands are kind of tied. And, again, do you think that it was a good idea? Do you think it was a good idea just for the Philadelphia Eagles last year? Do you think it was a good idea to bench Carson Wentz and play Jalen Hurts?
In terms of the attitude that and like the repercussions that came from Carson Wentz, I know I don't think it was a good idea.
No. Not knowing what you know now, but do you think it was a good idea to help the Philadelphia Eagles win last year to make the switch from Wentz to Jalen Hurts?
I think they were doing what they needed to do to set up their future franchise quarterback for success. Yes, I would have done it.
Well, I don't think Jalen's their franchise quarterback.
You don't think so?
They've said he's not. They say he's not even the starter. I mean, you know, if you guys are franchise quarterback,
he's going to be the starter.
I think Jalen Hurts gave them a better chance to win last year, and they played Jalen Hurts. And it got Doug Peterson fired. And it ruined the relationship with Carson Wentz. And I'm just saying, you can't do that. You can't do that with Matt Duchene. You cannot do that with him. As much as you want to send the message, hey, only the guys who bring it every night are going to play. Only the guys who are going to, I mean, I deal in practicality here. And that contract, hey, when you signed him to that contract, when you were that desperate to give him that contract, you gave him that power. And that's the power he has. And again, I know that we can sit here and say that that Matt Duchene should just play harder. Like, the benching should be like a punishment. And when you get punished, you should learn to act better. But I think in reality, we know that situations like that can lead to resentment. And I worry that, you know, this isn't the first time John Hines has benched him. This is not the first time.
Don't turn the puck over. If you don't want to be benched, don't turn the puck over.
Okay, you would say the same thing to Carson Wentz. Did that keep him from holding resentment and tearing his things down on his way out?
No, but he was being a little bit dramatic.
But that's what these guys do. That's what players do. Now, I think Duchene's probably a little bit more mature. But, Ian, you remember how he got his way out of Colorado?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and they said the second he left in Colorado, they started playing better and everything was better. And look at what they've been since he's left. I mean, look, this is the bed that they've made with him, and they better be careful. I'm just saying, they better be careful. I understand the idea, right? Again, it's like the punishment. If you don't do your homework and you punish your child because they didn't do their homework, and it's like, well, you're punished because you didn't do this. That's fine. But what if your kid turns you off for forever? Was it worth it to punish him for the homework because he's now turned you off for forever?
Well, I mean, I'm just sick and tired of athletes having this sense of entitlement and being a diva and saying, oh, well, okay, I performed badly and you're going to punish me for that. So now I'm going to be mad and I'm going to stomp my feet and throw a temper tantrum.
Wait, then you better decide who you give $56 million to before you do that.
That is true.
So that's the position they find themselves in. And sometimes you don't know about a guy like that. And I don't even know if Duchene's like that. Honestly, I'm just saying, as far as, you know, I'm not saying Duchene is going to take this benching and, you know, say screw John Hines and turn into Kyle Turris. I'm not saying that. But I'm also not ruling it out. And I just think that we need to consider that in pro sports, that's how some of these guys act. Let's get to your calls on this next. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll check in on the headlines with Caroline as we are live at the Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation at the Grove in Arrington. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.